ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
We've just heard the young students reciting the second chapter of Srimad Bhagavad Gita. And you might wonder why we are educating the children in Bhagavad Gita shlokas. How will that help them? Is it not more practical to teach them science? If you learn science, you can get a job. If you learn Bhagavad Gita shlokas, you won't get a job. Well, there is one shloka in Bhagavad Gita that devotees of Krishna, they have great faith in. Ananyas chintayanto mangye janaf pariyupasate tesham nityabhiyuktanam yoga kshemam vahamyaham. Ultimately, it is Bhagavan who maintains everyone. You cannot produce rice and dal in factories. Now, we may say that modern society has made great progress by science. And that is true in many ways. Just like, for instance, we just came from Salem to attend this program here. If we had to walk, it would take us at least 3 days to come, but we came in less than 3 hours. And if I had to speak to you without a microphone, within a short time, I would have to shout so loudly that within a short time, my voice would be zero. So there are certain advantages, we can say, to modern technology. However, modern science and technology is highly overrated. However fancy an iPod or an iPhone you may have, it will not bring you happiness. Some people, they have TV screens as big as the whole wall of their room. But still they're not happy. Another way in which science cannot help us is that Despite so much education in science, there are very important things that science cannot tell us at all. We see children, they go to pre-kindergarten. At the age of 1.5 or 2 years. And then they go on to kindergarten, school, college, and they may get a PhD at the age of 28 or 30, and it's where they spend almost 30 years in education. But they cannot tell you, after all this education, years and years of education, they don't know who they actually are. No one ever taught who you are, what is the purpose of life, how we can actually be happy, what happens after death, who is God and what is our relationship with Him. So if you don't know the answers to these questions, then what is the use of your education? So, a Bhagavad Gita teaches the answers to all these essential questions. Which is one reason that many people all over the world are taking great interest in the teachings of Bhagavad Gita. Because being raised in a materialistic society, no one is giving the answers to these questions. And even if some kind of religion is being taught, it's mostly of a dogmatic type. In other words, they tell you, just believe. But people who are raised in a with a scientific education, they don't want to accept any religion which just says, you just believe without asking any questions. So, sometimes people say that the Bhagavad Gita is like the Bible of Hinduism. But there are very significant differences between the Bible and the Bhagavad Gita. In Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna expresses many doubts to Krishna. And Krishna explains by giving transcendental knowledge. Krishna doesn't say that you just believe what I say or you'll go to hell. But he explains everything point by point. Now the first thing that we need to know is who we are. Now, you might think, well, that's a funny question. I know who I am. What's your name, sir? Your... Matangavail. Scott Tungavail. All right. And you're a newspaper reporter. He's a newspaper reporter. Yeah. All right, thank you. And you're a resident of Karur, is it? So you can say this is Mr. Tiru Scott Tungavail, newspaper reporter from Karur. And if I ask someone else, there's a little girl sitting here, she'll tell me her name. I'll sign afterward. Your name is Aditya. I see. And how old are you?
13.
So this is Aditya, age 13. Studying in what? 7th grade? 8th grade. I see. Alright, so if we ask everybody, they will tell us who they are. But we understand from Bhagavad Gita that this is not really who we are. Just like Aditya is 13 years old, if I ask Aditya, where were you 14 years ago, could you say? And you'll say, well, there was no Aditya, I didn't exist. And if I ask, where will you be in 130 years from now? Even after that, I won't exist. This is what they teach you at school. According to modern science, life is a combination of chemicals. When chemicals mix in a certain way, they become human beings. And then when the body dies, finished. But Bhagavad Gita teaches us that we are eternal Atma. You can sit down. Before we were in this body, we were in another body. And before that, in another body. And after this, in another body. And on and on and on. Science says that life is formed of matter, but they cannot combine the chemicals and make even one mosquito. They cannot even make one tiny little cell. So we understand that life and matter are two different energies. This is described in Bhagavad Gita.
Bhumirapodalovayo kongmano buddhirevacha hankara itiyang me bhina prakriti ashtadha.
Krishna says, that earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence, and ego, these are my eight separated or material energies. So there is matter, and there is spirit also. Aparayamitasthvanyam prakritiṃ vidhime param jiva bhutaṃ mahābāho yayedam dharyate jagat. You can just give the translation. Just like, for instance, when someone dies, we say they've gone away. In any language of the world, when someone dies, they say, gone away. Why do they say you've gone away? The same body is there, same chemicals. Why not give an injection to make them come back to life? But they say, gone away. Who went away? That means that we understand that actually the person is different from the body. So, another example Krishna gives in Bhagavad Gita is that we see young children and gradually they become older. It's a normal thing. So the mother recognizes, here is my child. Now the child is 40 years old. But the mother still thinks, it's my child. Now, when the baby was born and now is 40 years old, according to science, all the chemicals in the body and the age of the baby have completely gone. But the mother still thinks it's my child, but all the chemicals are different to the child that came out of her womb. So if the person is just a combination of chemicals, then technically the 40-year-old person is not the child of the mother, and the mother is also a completely different person. So what stays the same? What is the same is the person or Atma? And that's why we take persons very seriously. You may have a nice car. Nowadays in India you can buy cars costing more than 1 crore. Can you imagine? 1 crore for 1 car. But even then, if someone smashes that car, that's a crime. If someone takes a hammer and smashes the car to pieces, that is a crime. But if you take a hammer and smash a person and kill them, that's a much worse crime. Now, why should it be more of a crime to smash and kill a human than a car? They're both just chemicals. But we take people more seriously because they are people, they are Atma, they are living beings. So, in the name of modern science, actually atheism is being propagated. The idea that the body is only chemicals, life has come into being simply by a chance combination of chemicals. There's no life after death. There's no God. And therefore, what is left in life? Just enjoy yourself. By enjoyment, that means sense enjoyment. But Krishna points out in Bhagavad Gita that sense enjoyment can never make us happy. Yehi sang sparsha ja bhoga dukha yonaya evate adyantavanta kaunteya nateshu ramate buddhaha. You can trust. And that's actually a fact which we can observe. That the more so-called development and progress and technology that we have, the less people are satisfied. So what is the use, actually? How have we actually benefited from this so-called technological development? We see in the Western world that there are so many social problems. All over the world there was big press coverage because of one gang rape in Delhi. Which is very bad, we agree. But no one was telling anyone that in America there's an average of a rape every 2 minutes. And in America, just drug use is rampant. More than 70% of the people during their life, they require they approach a psychiatrist. In America, there are more than 3 million people in prison. So, I mean, these are just a few things, just to show that the technological development does not mean development of character. People are not satisfied, people are not happy. How How can we be happy if we don't know actually who we are? If I think that I am this body and the body is chemicals, and then when the body dies, everything is finished. Then we'll only be interested in sensual enjoyment. But that doesn't bring satisfaction to the soul. So the world is very much in need of genuine spiritual knowledge. Which is why so many people from the Western countries, they're hungry for the spiritual knowledge of Bhagavad Gita. They've had so much scientific progress, but they feel in their heart they're completely empty. So Bhagavad Gita is a unique spiritual teaching. In only 700 verses, it tells us exactly who we are. We are eternal, spiritual, living beings. When the body dies, we do not die. We continue to exist. And according to what we do in this life, we get a situation in a future life. So this is very scientific. For every action there is an equal and opposite reaction. So if I do good works, I will get good result in the future. And if I'm sinful, I will get a bad result in the future. But the very nature of this material world is that it is full of suffering. Janma mrityu jara vyadhi dukha doshanu darshanam. One who is actually intelligent, he sees that there is always present the miseries of birth, death, old age and disease. So Bhagavad Gita gives us practical knowledge of how we can get free from birth, death, old age and disease. How we can be blissful in this life, and how we can attain our eternal position beyond birth and death. And that is possible by cultivating bhakti to Krishna. Our need, the need of the soul is to love. What we all need most of all is love. In this material world, like everything else, love is limited and temporary. This is the world of competition. Everyone is struggling to be better than everyone else. But the spiritual world is the world of loving submission to Krishna. Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Matah Paratram Nanyat Kinchid Asti Dhananjaya. Aham Sarvasya Prabhavo Matah Sarvam Pravartate. Param Brahma Param Dhamma Pavitram Paramam Bhavan Purusham Shashvatam Divyam Adi Devam Ajam Vibhum. Arjuna. So this is accepted as a fact by all great spiritual authorities. And we can practically experience that. If we simply develop bhakti for Krishna, we feel full satisfaction. No such satisfaction is possible in material consciousness. Bhakti to Krishna bhakti that purifies the consciousness. At the present time, our consciousness is covered by kam, krodh, lobh, moha, mada, matsarya. When we recognize that we have to serve Krishna, Krishna is our eternal master, then automatically all these bad qualities in the heart go down. And the process of Krishna bhakti is very easy. You don't have to do any difficult austerities. All you have to do, especially in Kali Yuga, it is recommended, Hare Nama, Hare Nama, Hare Nama, Eva Kevalam, Kalo Nasceva, 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 Gatir Anyata. In Kali Yuga, people are not fit for performing severe austerities. So Bhagavan has given us a very easy process for Kali Yuga. Just chant the names of Krishna, especially the Maha Mantra. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. It is so simple, even a young child can do it. Even if a young child chants Hare Krishna, they become more spiritually advanced than a yogi who meditates in a cave in the Himalayas for 10,000 years. So everyone can do it. You don't have to be very highly educated. You can be a sannyasi or a grihasta or a boy or girl going to school. Even if someone is very sinful, if they start to chant Hare Krishna, they will become very pious. We We see so many people from the Western countries, they are now chanting Hare Krishna. In the Western countries, meat-eating, gambling, drunkenness, illicit sex, this is the culture, this is the normal thing that everybody does. It's very sinful life. But many people, simply by chanting the holy names of Krishna, they've left all these things. Now in India also, because people think we should follow the Western countries, these things are becoming normal. So many young Indian people, they're also, because they're engaging in all these sinful activities, they're feeling disgusted with themselves in their heart. And therefore we see that many young people in India, nowadays they're also taking to this Krishna consciousness. And people ask, why are you doing so young? You should do bhakti when you're 99 years old, not before. When you don't have any energy left for enjoying yourself, then you should do bhakti. Enjoy yourself throughout life, and at the end you say, hey Govinda, and go to Vaikuntha. But it doesn't work like that. You won't remember Govinda at the time of death. You'll remember the bottle of wine. Remember the bottle of wine. You'll remember wine, drinking wine. Another thing is why young people are joining, because they've done everything. They've eaten meat, they've had sex, they've got money, they're riding on motorbikes, watching movies, and feeling this is all completely useless. What is the use of all this if in our heart we don't feel satisfaction? So many people are taking to Krishna consciousness, and simply by remembering Krishna, they feel a happiness that they could not get from motorbikes, movies, free sex, money, and all these things. So we want to train the children so they can be saved from all these nonsense sinful activities. And how they can develop a pure heart with love for Krishna. Now in India there are many people who are highly educated. To be engineers, doctors, lawyers, and so on. But no one is educated to have a pure heart, pure character. There are no spiritual leaders. Mostly these so-called religious leaders, They say, you do whatever you like. How can they be spiritual leaders if they tell you to do whatever you like? So we tell people clearly, if you want to have spiritual advancement, then no meat eating, no illicit sex, no gambling, no intoxication. You have to practice sadhana very seriously. Sadhana of chanting the holy names of Krishna. This spiritual life, it's getting free from birth and death, it's not such a cheap thing. We have to take it very seriously. For many, many lives, we've been taking birth after birth after birth. Now we should take to the teachings of Bhagavad Gita very seriously. Understand who we are. Who is God? What is our eternal position? How we can be eternally happy. So for this purpose, the members of the Krishna Conscious Movement are going from town to town and village to village. To give the education that you never got at school. To give the education that the parents cannot give because they do not know themselves. To correct the imbalance in society. The whole of society is simply concerned with earning money. But there is no knowledge, spiritual knowledge. So we are going town to town, village to village, to give the practical teachings of Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavad Bhakti. So please take to this. You will be benefited in a manner that you cannot be benefited by any number of iPods, iPhones, TVs or anything else. It's Krishna conscious, it's a very simple, very joyful, and very pure process. It's based on chanting the holy names of Krishna. Based on the teachings of Bhagavad Gita and chanting the holy names of Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Very nice, very simple, very pure. So thank you all very much for coming this evening. And listening to this lecture. And if anyone has any questions, you could please ask that now. Yeah, stand up and show, Sundar Narasimha. You can certainly have the mic here. If anyone would. Mr. Scott. Yeah, please say in the mic so everyone can hear. So, what is the solution to terrorism? Kill all the terrorists. Is it possible? Not possible. Who are the terrorists? We are all terrorists. What does a terrorist do? A terrorist tortures and kills others just for their own, to promote their own idea or for their own satisfaction. They don't care what the other person thinks, that the other person feels pain. So we are all terrorists. Everyone who is eating chickens and goats and any form of flesh, they're all terrorists. Because the animals are kept, the chickens are tortured, and then they're killed. This is terrorism. Another terrorism is that the children are sent to school. And they are taught directly or indirectly that by studying and you will get money, you enjoy your senses and you will be happy. But they're not happy, they're frustrated. Because they don't know the actual goal of life. So sending your children to school is also one form of terrorism. And actually you'll find most of these terrorists, they're all highly educated people. Because they're so frustrated that they go to terrorism. Now by the law of karma, if you cause suffering to others, then the suffering will come back on us. Now, the population of India at the present time is about, it's more than 110 crore. At an extremely conservative estimate, if we say that one chicken is killed every day for every 1,000 people in India, that means more than 1 million chickens killed every day. So will there not be a reaction? We torture the animals and it creates a whole atmosphere of violence. This is tamaguna. So we're promoting via the TV, we're promoting violence, we're promoting sex, we're promoting greed. And we think that people will behave in a civilized manner. we should change this whole society. The culture is very bad. We should return to that culture where instead of watching TV, the people hear about the pastimes of Krishna and Rama. We should return to that culture wherein women, instead of being promoted as objects of sexual lust, they should be considered the Griha Lakshmi. Where the children, they respect their parents. You can't have a society of sane, civilized people wherein animal slaughter, wherein lust and greed are promoted. It's not possible. When you teach the children that we are just products of chemicals, then why should they care for anyone? So if we want to stop terrorism, we have to teach Bhagavad Gita. We have to teach people what is the actual purpose of life. And those who are sinful, who have no desire to follow Bhagavad Gita, then they may need to be punished also, just like Duryodhana was punished. But if this chanting of Hare Krishna is spread everywhere, there'll be no more terrorism. That is a fact. We see all over the world that people who were previously eating meat, drinking wine, doing all sinful activities, they stopped all this, and now they're saintly people chanting Hare Krishna. So, and then you won't have any job. If there's no terrorism, you won't have a job. The newspaper reporters have to report. Instead, you can report about the Sankirtan festivals. Same thing, because people are given wrong education. Corruption is increasing. You teach people to be devotees of Krishna, then they won't cheat. Why should we cheat people for money? What will we do with so much money? Money can't buy you love. Money can't buy you happiness. Now, if you give us money, we will take it, but we'll take it to build temples for Krishna, to hold festivals like this. Just like this festival, what's the entrance fee? This one is a free festival. So we've arranged all this festival, we give prasadam like this. We'll take money. So if people become devotees of Krishna, they won't cheat you for money, but whatever money they'll get, they'll use that to give Krishna consciousness to others. Yes, please. Yes, that was a special circumstance. Not that we slaughter animals, but in that particular situation, there were people who were asuras, demons. They were against dharma. Who were completely unreasonable. All effort had been made to broker peace, but they wanted to fight. So because they insisted on fighting, therefore they had to be countered. But Bhagavad Gita is not a general recommendation for everyone to fight under all circumstances. And it is certainly not a recommendation to make slaughterhouses and to torture animals or to torture humans. The general recommendation of Bhagavad Gita is Advaishta Sarva Bhutanam Maitra Karana Evacha. If there are bad elements in society and there is no other way to deal with them, then war may become inevitable. That is not the normal circumstance of human society.
They should also be vegetarians. They should also not eat meat. And
Well, there are members of the Krishna conscious movement in different countries of the world who are members of the armed forces and the police, and they're vegetarians. In Vedic culture, Kshatriyas are allowed to eat meat. But they have to themselves kill the animal. Slaughterhouses are never recommended. This is rascaldom. No saintly person teaches you it's all right to do sin. If anyone teaches that, he's not a saintly person, he's a rascal, he's a cheater. Jesus, he didn't teach that you just do sin. He taught people to lead a saintly life. He was a sadhu. But people have taken his teachings and distorted them. Jesus never said that you just believe in me and you do sin and then everything is okay. Jesus is maybe the most misinterpreted person ever. For instance, there's very good evidence that Jesus was a vegetarian. He was a member of the Essene sect. It was a religious group at that time who were vegetarians. Jesus spoke a local dialect in that area, which was called Aramaic. Later, the life of Jesus was written by four different people who never met him, probably, and they wrote in Greek.
Jesus
now in that, just like in Tamil language, if you say to someone, have you eaten food? They'll say, have you eaten rice? Because everyone eats rice. It may be, I don't know. At least in Bengali, they say like that. I know Bengali, I don't know Tamil. I can speak Hindi and Bengali, but not Tamil. So in Bengali, if you say, have you taken your food? They'll say, apni ki bhat khayachen? Have you eaten rice? Because rice is the staple food. So in Greek, in the same way, they say, if you have taken food, they say, have you taken meat? Because they eat lots of meat. So when it said that Jesus was eating meat, actually it just was eating food, but it became represented in Greek as meat. And actually all the first Christians, they were all vegetarians. But people like to eat meat. So they converted Jesus posthumously into a meat eater. But no sadhu will teach you that you do all sinful activities and you just say, I believe in Jesus, and finished. This is a gross, sinful misrepresentation. But people like it. I'll do whatever I like, and just Jesus, Jesus, and finished. But Jesus, he won't take such people. There is an incident related in the Bible of how Jesus, he went in the temple, the Jewish temple, and he saw that people are selling animals to be killed in sacrifice. And he just threw all the people out. He became so angry. He smashed all the stalls. He beat the people up. He became violently angry at their sinfulness in the name of religion. And now they're doing the same thing. So the modern gurus in Hinduism, they also cheat people. If a so-called guru does not teach you Bhagavad Gita as it is, then what is the meaning of his being a guru? In Kali Yuga, almost everything is cheating. You see, the advertisements, it's all for cheating you. They advertise, you buy these jewels and you will be happy. You're not happy. You drink this wine and you will be happy. All cheating. The whole society is cheating you. Work hard, study in school, get lots of money, you'll be happy. It's all cheating. So religion, it's also mostly all cheating. Christians are very active to convert. They get 10,000 rupees for everyone they convert. Why they'll not be busy? Cheating, cheating, cheating. I was so fortunate in my youth to find, after all the hundreds and thousands of people I came across, then I came to the shelter of Srila Prabhupada. There's one person who never cheated us. He gave actual knowledge of the spiritual world and of spiritual life and how to practice it. He worked hard day and night with no personal motive, only to help people to get the knowledge of Bhagavad Gita, of Krishna, by which they could be benefited. Do you want to say it again in Tamil? Ichha dvesha samuttena dvandva mohena bharata sarva bhutani sammoham sarga yanti parantapa. All the answers are in Bhagavad Gita.
Okay.
Because we have material desires, we get born in this material world. We should become free from material desires. Someone has a question? Yeah. You chant Hare Krishna, you can go to Krishna. This can be your last birth. You don't have to be born again. That's true for everyone here. You don't need to be born again. You chant Hare Krishna, you go to Krishna. No more birth. Yeah, someone else has a question. First time in 600 years.
Yeah, I want to say that I'm going to be a little bit of a problem.
Pope hasn't given any clear reason. He just says that he's more or less saying he's old and tired. But people have speculated that there's so much chaos in the church that he's just too much for him. Now, it is not our aim to hurt anyone's sentiments. But if we are to examine, we have to say that the Pope, despite being the leader of so many supposed to be religious people, he also has no clear spiritual knowledge. In the Christian teaching is that God came to earth and was killed. But how can God be killed? He was dead, he's supposed to be dead for 3 days. But what is this idea that God can be killed by human beings? I was raised as a Catholic, and I had, in my childhood, I had many questions that the priests couldn't answer. And if I meet Christians, they still can't answer. If God is all kind and loves everyone, then why does he send people to hell forever? It's what they say if you don't believe in Jesus. Some people, they never hear of Jesus in their whole life, and they're supposed to go to hell forever. What kind of loving God is this? It doesn't make any sense. The jiva is present not only in human bodies but in all bodies. The human population is insignificant in relation to all the other living beings. The population of India is 110 crores. Probably in Karur, in the rainy season, there are that many mosquitoes. So there's no shortage of jivas.
Uh-huh.
better chant Hare Krishna. Otherwise, in our next life, we might become a mosquito. There are plenty of vacancies in the mosquito bodies. So shall we chant Hare Krishna for a little time? We'll do more Sankirtan. Or you want to announce this? Yeah, okay. Do you like to chant Hare Rama first? You please do it. Whether you chant Hare Rama first or Hare Krishna first, it's the same Maha Mantra. In the Sampradaya from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he has taught us to chant Hare Krishna first. Other rules, some rules, not many rules. But some rules are there. Just if you're going to be a serious chanter, then you have to follow some rules. So that will, we're going to have a follow-up series of classes, so all these things will be taught step by step. All this will be taught in the follow-up classes. All right, we'll take one more question then. This gentleman's an advocate, is it? Looks like an advocate with this kind of jacket. Or is he a film star with the glasses? Anyway, what is your question, sir? Oh, not repeat, it's too long. Just give us some. Is there a question or is it just a statement? Is there any question? All right, well, you can say that it sounds like a complicated question. You can join the six-session course. You can come and meet with us afterwards. It's getting a bit... It's getting somewhat late.